You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
We're an American
man. God bless America.
I'll be an American when at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Over the podcast.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Tuesday.
The owners or sponsors thereof.
24th
of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those within skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Now Jason's done, and it's still the 24th of June, and it's still Tuesday, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. I'm Cope Reynolds once again. I'll be here with you for a couple hours, and we'll see if we can solve at least some of the world's problems while we're doing it here. Let's see. I've got story to information today that Louis Auerbach died. I don't know that that's true. I can't find, I've seen it on a couple of chat rooms. For those of you that don't know who Louis Auerbach is, he is a shotgun guru. He's been teaching shotguns, former Special Forces. I don't know a whole lot about him. Heard of him, you know, for years, but I've never met him. I heard that he died today, and that's if that's true, that's a big loss for the firearms training community. As I get more information on that, I will let you know. Queso, how you doing? Mini writes, not too late. Pumpkin Cat, like the group of the regulars is here. Let me see who else we got in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Anonymous in there. And a bunch of our regulars. Glad you guys could make it tonight. Hopefully it won't be worth your while. I'll just have to hold off on that Auerbach story for the time being. And I'll let you know as soon as I find out something new about it. But anyway. Got a lot of stuff. I'm trying to catch up with some of these stories here. I've been putting on more of them than I'm able to get out. But anyway, let's what's going on out at Schott's Ranch right now? The 4th of July Independence Day activities have been canceled for some other things that are going on out there. So if you were planning on coming out, actually it was going to be a private deal anyway. There was just a few folks that were invited out, so it didn't work out the way we'd planned, so we're just going to spend that time working on the ranges and getting things squared away, spend time with family and getting ready for the second half of 2014. And that blows me away. It's in another week, we're going to start the second half of this year. And it's just astounding to me. I don't even get it. But at any rate, that's what's going on. And the next class is going on. We've got rifle and handgun classes both coming up here before the end of July. And we've got some survival stuff going on. So I'll look at our website, shotsranch.com. Go to the schedule. Now, the website, the schedule, and all this stuff is going to be revamped. It's in the process right now, and but you can still get the relevant information and everything off of the website. The problem is right now it's not geared up for automated, you know, signing up for classes online and everything. So you'll have to, all you got to do is give me a call or send me an email. Send it to training@shotsranch.com or call 928-208-4867 and we'll get you signed up if you got a class coming. We had a good deal this weekend. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. By the way, we had another crash this morning. I've got to find out what in the world is causing these automatic updates and causing this cotton picking computer to shut down like it's got a mind of its own. And I hate it. And as a result of that yesterday, we lost yesterday's show. So it is not going to be on podcast. I will be more diligent and get that uploaded immediately after I finish the show so we don't lose another one. We've been pretty good at catching all of those. But we lost the one from last night, and I really apologize for that. But we'll get tonight's up on there pretty quickly. Let me go back here. Hang on just a second and see. Republic Defender, okay. There, he made it back. He, she, I'm not sure. I apologize. I should have asked before I said that. But whichever. I'm glad you made it back anyway. Palm Bay just bounced in there. 007, Rise at Risk, Mini, okay. The looks like Mini Men Pen did find something about Louis Arbuck. All I found was a couple of chat rooms in message boards had talked about it. So that's looks like it is true apparently. And that's too bad. He wasn't that old. I think he I don't remember what the cause of death I heard earlier, but having some health problems anyway, according to this. Wow. This is not good. Apparently, if this is true, it looks like he'd had some health problems, had to cancel a class, got home from the hospital and shot himself. That's too bad. It's a damn shame that anybody should feel the need to take their own life. And I don't know why someone would. Of course, you can't think the way, you don't know what's going on in other people's head. I can't imagine what would make somebody do that. I'm sure that pain, frustration, suffering over a period of time. But it's a damn shame that he elected to do that. Sad news in the firearms training community. So, he was a great writer, too. He had, and it says there's one thing, he had several books, and a lot of them were, he was a shotgun guru. And Jeff Jolly, Arizona Fat Man, has trained with Louis Arbuck a time or two, and knows him pretty well. So, anyway, there you go. Thank you, Minnie, for posting that up there. That's a good picture there too. All right, well let's break away from this and move on here. I'm sorry to hear that. I got to see what this thing is about Walmart. Walmart has responded to New York Times columnist here. The excuse me a minute. All right, that's better. He'd written a piece called "The Corporate Daddy." Walmart said, "Thanks for sharing your first draft." Below were a few thoughts to ensure something inaccurate doesn't get published. The Walmart couldn't resist the sarcasm after it found that it considered numerous problems with the piece that he wrote. And he was criticizing the company for paying its $2.2 million, what he called humiliating wages. Walmart, the writer said, Walmart is a net drain on taxpayers, adding that the company forces employees into public assistance with poverty wage structure. Walmart said, we are the largest taxpayer in America. Can we see your math? We see more associates move off of public assistance as a result of their job at Walmart. The guy argued that the most advanced nations look for ways to boost the middle class, but that the U.S. had ceased doing that. Witness the GI Bill, which helped millions of returning soldiers get a lift to a better life. Walmart said, did you know that Walmart has hired more than 42,000 veterans this year alone? On the topic of veterans, Walmart has won unlikely support. Michelle Obama, who had made veteran hiring one of her top issues, praised the company last year when it announced it would be hiring 100,000 veterans. Walmart is setting a groundbreaking example for the private sector to follow. But the writer of the story had other issues with Walmart. The columnist wrote that the company's humiliating wages forced thousands of employees to look to food stamps and other forms of welfare. Walmart said it's a bit repetitive. See the above. And, you know, I was looking at a deal. It was North or South Dakota where they're paying Walmart stockers and whatnot $17 and something an hour. Now, I don't know what this guy expects, but I think you could do worse than $17 an hour. And he said the writer cited a story from an Ohio Walmart that went viral last year, which showed a sign in the story's break room. The picture was meant to show the company's failures to provide enough for its employees. To clarify, associates were helping associated during, wow, I think that's supposed to be associates again. Associates were helping associates during unexpected hard times, and a noble cause, no doubt. The company also chastised the writer for using vague statistics. Walmart disputes these figures, claiming the average full-time store worker makes at least $12 an hour. And $12 an hour, when you look at some of the duties and things, I don't think $12 an hour is too bad for the type of work that it is. You get out here to in Sholo, and the, you know, security guards are making anywhere from $9 to $11, $12 an hour. So I don't think it's all that bad. But anyway, they went on here with a very, very well written rebuttal to this, very sarcastic, but I think it was professional, and the guy deserved it for his way he wrote this and everything. So I guess we'll wait and see if he comes out with a rebuttal to the rebuttal and see if he understands. I think what happened is he thinks he's a little smarter and a little better, I believe, than some of these other, and he's written this piece that he thinks has got facts backing it up. And that's the problem. I'm pretty sure that this guy would probably, if he's not, he'd make a damn good Obama supporter, and I think he probably is, just by the way he writes this. He doesn't have the benefit of facts backing him up here. And looks like Walmart tore him a new one here with some facts that you can look up yourself. But all right, how about a jackbooted thug story? Mountain shooter, Hopper, glad you guys made it in here. Let's see, let me check and see what else is going on there. All right, jackbooted thug story. Florida man and his dog killed by a SWAT team. And how did they manage this? Well, once again, pre-dawn no-knock raid. These no-knock raids are getting completely out of hand. Have been for a while, actually. Man was fatally shot during a pre-dawn SWAT raid on his home because of suspected drug possession. Okay. I could probably go with a no-knock raid if we had good, sound, current, confirmed information that a mass murder or murder of any kind was in there. I mean, a hostage situation in a place where a murder or rape was in progress, or they had good reason to believe that there might be one. But for drug possession, any drug possession, this war on drugs thing is a joke. Why would you go in and kill a man and his dog over drug possession? Selling it to little kids, that's a little bit of a different story. But drug possession? You're going to go in, guns a-blazing, pre-dawn raid, no knock, because of drug possession. The homeowner died 11 days later. 11 days of struggling for his life. And SWAT also killed his dog and beat up his son. Now, there's some brave individuals right there. They're just protecting the serving the hell out of this guy. About 6 a.m., Hallandale Police Department SWAT team broke through the back door of a local residence. They suspected that the owner possessed prohibited substances. They suspected this. So this was all on a suspicion that they had no proof. How many times over the last couple, 3, 4, 5 years you've listened to the Shooting Bench did we find that there was suspected stuff going on in somebody's house, and it was either the wrong house, bad information, or whatever. Somebody got killed, children got killed, dogs got killed, things got tore up, broke, misplaced, stolen, because they suspected something. What exactly took place inside is not for sure, but this raid resulted in the homeowner being shot, his son being beaten, and a 13-year-old dog being killed. Man was shot. That was shot was a local businessman, Howard Bowe. His sister lives in the other half of the duplex, said that he was unarmed. They came in the back door. This is what the guy's sister is saying. They came in the back door. Why shoot an unarmed person? Now he's fighting for his life. Well, actually, he fought for his life for 11 days and then died. He owns, looks like an auto place, Power Auto in Florida. Family said there is no way that police targeted the right person. Now, when we get down in this story a little bit farther, I bet we're going to find out that they were fully justified in what they did. They consider themselves justified. My concern is really for my brother. I mean, there's no reason why they should have shot him. He has a business, an established business. He's not a big drug dealer like they're assuming. 16-year-old son was taken into custody and beaten in the process. He was questioned without a parent or a lawyer. Neighbor told the Sentinel that Bo is an honest man who worked every day at his business. I can't understand it. I hope he's all right. Well, he's not all right. They killed him. SWAT officer Michael McKenzie, 14-year-old veteran of the department, was the one that pulled the trigger. He's on administrative leave. Well, administrative leave, I'm sure, with pay. And when he gets back, it doesn't say here, when he gets back, I'm sure that they will have determined that it was justified. That's pretty much what happens almost every time. I will be fair. It's not every time, but it's not far from it. So, they'll... Now, rights at risk, you know, we are supposed to take some comfort in that, actually. We know that they will, you know, that strains the hell out of my Christian faith there. When these things go on, we are supposed to take some comfort in knowing that when some of these people like that make it to the other side, after death, and face their maker, that they will pay for some of these things. Now, that doesn't make it any easier for me, honey. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time with that. This stuff needs to stop on this earth now in our present time era here or whatever. Mini, that story on the 2-year-old son, yeah, I talked about that the other day. That was a bad story. But you say eventually Americans are going to say enough, and I wish I could. What is it going to take? How many innocent people have to die? How many dogs have to be killed? How many kids have to be killed? How many kids have to be beaten? How many kids have to be taken from their parents How many people have to be broke, businesses destroyed, relationships split up, over and over and over again, every single day, buddy, every damn day. There's not a day, not a single 24-hour period goes by, but what this isn't happening somewhere in America. Not a day. It's almost to the point where not an hour is going by that this stuff is going on. So when is it that Americans are going to say enough? I'd like to believe that that's the case, but I don't know. Jeez, I mean, it's enough already. Not too late. I suspect you're right. These cops are probably going to hell for this. But, you know, it's like with what Rights at Risk said. I'm sure they are. And, you know, I think somebody should help send them there. It's getting to a point where it's just... I know that that's a... I know it's a bad thing to think about, but... They continue to do this stuff, and we are like so much chopped liver. I mean, they don't even there's no compassion, no sympathy, no justice, no accountability every day. And I don't get it. Let me go down through the chat room here and see what's going on. I'm trying to catch up. You guys are swooping right along here, pretty good. And Doc, I guess that's to some folks they think that's a good thing. There, you know, all the cops went home safely. You know, it's hard. I talked to I won't say who. But talking to a young lady the other day, and she said, you know, that's why I hate cops. This is happening often enough now that people are lumping them all into one, and it shouldn't be that way. There's always been bad cops. There's always been bad Boy Scouts. There's always been bad, carpenters. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. There's somebody bad in every damn group of people that exist on this planet, and there always has been. But it's getting now to where there is so many, it's so often, that people are just hating cops, period. And that's going to be bad for some of the good cops out there. Because as we noticed with the thing in Vegas the other day, they're just out to kill cops. It doesn't make any difference what they're wearing, what department they belong to. They're just wanting to kill cops. They just walked up to them and shot them dead. And that's going to be a standard here. It's going to be more frequent. Our founders did put up with a lot, but they didn't put up with this damn much, buddy. They look at the tax rate, where we're paying what, 50-60% probably by the time you get through all the taxes and stuff, permits and all that. They have across the nation killed people, burned homes, burned kids alive, and this is going on with monotonous regularity. I know that they didn't fight until there was absolutely no recourse. They could have allowed themselves to keep getting killed and burned out. That's what we're doing. But some point there, they said, well, that's they're killing us and burning us out and charging us too much taxes. We can't do this anymore. And queso. I just, you tell them, bring it on. That's okay. Says the UN's hiring a disarmament coordinator. Yeah, maybe they are. That's all right. Looks like the Tinker's leaving us here. Sleep good, bud. The Queso posted a link there for our for the disarmament, demobilization, reintegration specialist. Yeah, I wish him luck with that. Let's see, what is Hopper started talking about here? Let's see. Hopper, what are you talking about? They opened fire on them, something. I missed something along the way here. Somewhere. Soldier opened fire on Batcham. Okay, well, we'll wait and see what that is. Okay. Yeah, those blue helmets make damn fine targets. You know, and I wish that more cops. I know that there's a lot of cops out there, a lot, not just a handful. There's lots and lots of cops out there that realize that this is wrong and that do not participate in this stuff, and they think about it the same way we do. They need to do one of two things. These good cops, when they see this stuff going, they either need to place these others under arrest, and I know a couple of them that would do that. A couple. Or they need to just turn in their badge, get out, and say, you know, I can't be a part of this. And come on over to the other side. Why do we have to choose sides? This is... This is, it's a sad thing to think about that we have, or they have. Well, we're partially responsible for this too, partly because we've let it go on for so long. There should have been a stopping point years ago, 50, 75 years ago. There should have been a stopping point. I don't know. The Hopper, I think I remember which one you're talking about there. The raid may have been wrong address. And I think that there was a cop or two, or one killed and one shot, maybe. And the guy was found not guilty, if it's the same one I'm thinking about. We talked about that on the show here a while back. Why don't the good cops ever do anything when they're there? I don't know why that is. I don't. Queso has a point there, that even the quote unquote good officers won't break silence against them, and that is absolutely wrong. These people have to get. How do you look at yourself in the mirror? How do you wake up in the morning, get ready to shave, and say, "Oh, you're that cowardly low-life punk yesterday that didn't say anything or do anything or report anything when Officer McGillicuddy cut that dog's throat or stepped on that baby's head or whatever it was that they did." How do you shave in the morning? How do you... I don't know. I just don't know. Sure don't know. Well, we need to take a little break here, so be right back.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
What answer is that, Haji?
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day. Introducing to their grandpa.
Come.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measured Radio Network.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Have you ever noticed how politicians frequently loosen their tie, roll up their sleeves, and tussle their hair when they try to identify with hardworking, average American voters? It's pure show business, affectation, and political theater, folks. Every rolled cuff and tussled lock of hair is overseen by stylists, handlers, and political henchmen. They're trying to convey an image that says, sadly, for professional reasons, I have to live in the lap of luxury and wear this $2,000 suit, but I'd really rather be digging ditches or picking chicken guts with the regular hard-working folks. Maybe after work, we can go knock back a few cold ones. We're broke, America. Busted. In the hole. And have been for a very long time. Our federal debt exceeds all debts of all humanity, dating back to the beginning of time. Everyone knows this. Everyone, except, apparently, our politicians. Poor Democratic Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She and her husband drive about $100,000 in automobiles and own a couple of houses worth a cool $1 million. Her staffers earn between $60,000 and $160,000 per year. Yet the representative recently suggested that budget cuts and rising restaurant costs are pricing her staffers out of a good meal. Tisk tisk. President Obama recently concluded an African tour that estimates say ran over $100 million. You have to wonder how many starving African bellies $100 million might fill. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. During his 2013 European tour, Vice President Joe Biden dropped a cool $1 million on two nights in a French luxury hotel. Nice work, if you can get it. Air Force One, Air Force Two, limousines that weigh as much as a Sherman tank, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. These things leave a carbon footprint somewhere between volcanoes and global gorilla farts. Yet you, deluded, confused, abused, unimportant little American citizens, are told to drive recycled Budweiser cans and live in mean little hovels with summer thermostat settings just below charbroil. Your winter heating bill will be doubled, and your winter thermostat settings inspired by glaciers. All to stop global warming, don't you know? And these things barely scratch the surface of the excesses of our political class. Maybe Wasserman Schultz staffers should drop by the food bank to pick up economy recipe tips from their constituents. Maybe the White House should shut off the air conditioning and get a good African mealie-pap recipe. That's boiled corn mush, the staple of food in sub-Saharan Africa. It's cheap and earth-friendly. Oh, and Joe, next time you need a room, try Motel 6. They'll keep the lights on for you. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Who the hell are you?
You know.
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. The since we're on the subject of jackbooted thugs, here's one. Just an honest cop trying to make a living. Bradford County, been suspended for allegedly selling an AK-47 out of the back of his patrol car last week. He was on duty at the time of the gun sale. The mayor of this little town, Lacyville, he said, "I was shocked. I was just shocked. Especially when there's an automatic weapon involved and the public was exposed." Well, I'm thinking maybe it was a semi-automatic weapon, and I'm not sure how exposed the public was. But after this was over with, they suspended this guy for selling a gun. It may have even been a legal gun. It may have been his gun. And it was inappropriate to sell it out of his car in Walmart parking lot. But it's suspended without pay. And when the guy gets in a shooting and they don't know, they suspend him with pay. The mayor said it's one isolated incident, but you have to deal with it. You can't let this slide. He sounds like an anti-gunner in a big degree there. People in Bradford County could not believe a cop would sell a gun on the taxpayer's dollar. It is inappropriate. Absolutely. I don't know if it's the end of the world, but it's inappropriate. Pretty scary knowing someone in law enforcement could be out selling guns to people. You know, these people are all scared of what? Here's a rocket scientist here, Ashley Fiore, said, they know the law, you know, they're supposed to be protecting us. No, actually, they're not. Courts have proven time and again that they're not there to protect you. They're there to clean up the mess after it's over with. The mayor of another town said for him to do something so foolish, it just boggled my mind. Wow, these people are easily amused, aren't they? I guess it wasn't a Walmart parking lot. It was a place called Dandy Mary. And witnesses there said they saw a cop was selling an AK-47 out of the back of his police cruiser. People said it was bad enough that he was selling a gun, but at one point he walked away from his vehicle and the AK-47. There could have been something tragic could have happened there. Yeah, it could have been. Could have been hit by a meteor, too, but he didn't, so we wouldn't worry about it too much. They tried calling the cop here to get his side of the story, but didn't answer, as you might expect. As a result of the suspension, the police department there is only operating with one officer, and that is the police chief. But the police chief has a message for the residents of Lacyville. He said, "It's perfectly understandable. You're concerned about the incident, but the police are here for you, and we need to get through it." This was a super monumental event for this little hick town here. And probably the greatest thing that's happened to them in no telling how long. You know, the Supreme Court is not a real big fan of Barack Obama, it seems like. They keep on, time and again, they seem to be ruling against him here. They just ruled 9-0 against our fearful leader. We talked about this when it first happened a month or so ago, but they've ruled 9-0 against the in a case of Bond versus the United States. This was when they used a federal statute against chemical weapons to prosecute a woman who put toxic chemicals on the door handle of a car owned by the woman that her husband was having an affair with. They said it wasn't such a big deal. They made her a little sick or something. It wasn't anything big. But they tried to get under chemical weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons violations here and everything, when it was really just some household stuff put on a doorknob that was supposed to, kind of like putting X-lax in the typing teacher's birthday cake or something. It's not that big a deal. Anyway, well, you know, let me look here. April 23rd. No, this is another one. This is, let me find the date on this one here. Well, anyway, there's a farmer I hate these I hate these stories. They're stacking up here. This one's a couple months old, but it came up when I was looking for stories of police shooting dogs. Third generation dairy farmer in Raines County, Texas. Said he's mourning the loss of his best friend and work partner after a deputy shot his dog while responding to a report of a break-in at his residence. This is the one. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. We talked about this. This was another dog shot story. We talked about this last night, I think, where the dog jumped out of the truck, and a 2-year-old blue heeler dog jumped out of the truck. He was not growling. He was not aggressive, but the cops saw fit to shoot him anyway. So, yeah, we talked about that one last night. I apologize for wasting your time on that one. Dang, I should know better. I keep track of my stuff here. All right, well, you're going to love this one. How close are we to break? Let me check and see. I'm going to look at a couple of sources here and make sure we haven't got anything sneaking in the back door that we need to talk about right away. But, Hopper, that is, you know, them heelers are damn fine dogs, you know what? I really like blue heelers, red heelers, Australian shepherds. They're just awesome, awesome dogs. I don't know, Doc, if it was illegal in the state that he was in, but it's still illegal or not. It was still inappropriate for somebody on the taxpayer's dime on duty. If he wanted to sell an AK-47, all he had to do is wait till he get off work. So I think it was illegal or not, it was definitely inappropriate. Republic Defender, what have you got there? Looks like you got some plates. Or a sight for one, anyway. You guys need to check that out. Let's see. The Doc, if Para USA, now, if that is, unless I miss my guess, that used to be Para Ordnance, is that right? If it is, I don't know how they're doing now. I've never been a real big fan. Of course, you know I'm not a 1911 fan anyway, but The very first gun, if I remember correctly, the absolutely first gun that came into Ross Sporting Goods when I first took it over in 2002, 2003, was of Para Ordinance 45, Para Ordinance 1911. And we've seen several of them come in the shop. There's been numerous problems. So, but that was a while back. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you what they're like now, especially since they've moved out of Canada. I couldn't tell you. I know that was a little ways up the list here. I'm trying to get caught up on my chat room here a little bit. Let's see. Now we're sending special forces back to Baghdad. Well, that's perfect. I'll be darned. Edge of the Woods made it in there with us tonight. Glad to see you. Anyway. Let me get back over here to where... okay, we got that one. Here we go. Now, you're going to love this story. Now, you got to understand something here. And you need to think about this long and hard. There's, you know, a long time ago, long, long time ago, so long ago that it's hardly worth mentioning anymore. It's not. I can't imagine why, what these men thought over 200 years ago could possibly have any bearing on what we're doing today. They come up with a antiquated, it was antiquated then, it's worse now. It was called the Constitution. And now, and they had a little addendum to that, the Bill of Rights. And I don't know why they even mention that anymore. They've pretty much all gone. And So you're gonna love this story, because this is they're protecting and serving the hell out of us again. There's been a federal directive. This just came out a few weeks ago. Federal directive authorizes military to engage civilians. Damn posse comitatus. We don't worry about that too much. But this directive authorizes the military to engage civilians to, quote, quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbances, unquote. So, all this extra training and guns and, you know, they've been buying oodles and gobs of stuff, stockpiling weapons and ammo and riot gear and armored vehicles and all this stuff. For the last few years, military personnel training them right hand in hand, using fully outfitted helicopters and armored vehicles and all this stuff all across America and in most every major city. Well, the majority of Americans here don't have any idea what's going on, and they probably don't care. They got their head in the sand, and they don't care. This stuff appears to be designed not for fighting terrorism, at least not terrorism in our definition of what could be considered terrorism. Hey, Mouse made it in tonight. Good deal. It almost has to be that they have this stuff so that they can fight who else? I mean, it seems pretty obvious to me that when they pack up this much stuff, stockpile this much stuff in this country, are the police stockpiling to... to fight their own people? Well, it kind of looks that way. Here's a quote. The troubling aspect of the directive outlines presidential authority for the use of military arms and force, including unarmed drones, in operations against domestic unrest. This appears to be the latest step in the administration's decision to use force against the United States, use force within the United States against its citizens. This was a defense official opposed to this directive. Directive number 3025.18, Defense Support of Civil Authorities, was issued December 29, 2010, and it states that U.S. commanders are provided emergency authority under this directive. Federal military forces shall not be used to quell civil disturbances unless specifically authorized by the President in accordance with applicable law or permitted under emergency authority. In these circumstances, those federal military commanders have the authority in extraordinary emergency circumstances where prior authorization by the President is impossible and duly constituted local authorities are unable to control the situation, to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbances under two conditions. The conditions include military support needed to prevent significant loss of life or wanton destruction of property and are necessary to restore governmental function and public order. A second use is when federal, state, and local authorities are unable or decline to provide adequate protection for federal property or federal governmental functions. Federal action, including the use of federal military forces, is authorized when necessary to protect the federal property or functions. Military assistance can include loans of arms, ammunition, vessels, and aircraft. Directive states clearly that it is for engaging civilians during times of unrest. So there you have it. Now you've got a little bit of an idea what you're up against and how to prepare for it. There are a couple of terms in here that it should concern you, namely internment and resettlement. Seems like a bunch of Japanese had to worry about this some time back. As if this needs any further elaboration, the two terms simply mean that you will be snatched from your home and sent to a detention camp for an undetermined amount of time and treated in a manner that will not be defined by any law. The authority, let's see. Anyway, it goes on and on here. But just so they, you know, I would hate for them to be doing things that were contrary to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I would hate to see them do that. So I think what they've done is they've just dumped the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We won't pay attention to it anymore. And that allows them to do this kind of stuff. So this thing was started back in 2010, and there's a lot of folks out there that haven't figured out yet. This is the first part of that deal was in fact signed in 2012, but right now this happened on June 2nd, 2014, a month ago. Well, almost 2 months ago now. So this is, quite frankly, I don't see this as being a good thing. Not good at all. But they're just, it's another one of those things where they're just playing right into us here. I just tell them they might as well just go ahead and bring it on. See what happens. All right. Well, I need to go and close the garage door and do a couple other things, moving stuff out of the shop. So give me just a few minutes here, and I'll be back.
That's what I said. James is darn good, but he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose them? Damn always.
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do. That's right. Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Tia Tawaki Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDCPASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high-capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
80 men tried,
Records Shop, Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we're back. Just trying to spiff up one of my deals here. Hold on just a minute and I'll get this on there for you. TSB, where we go. You know, I haven't mentioned here for a long time our site where the colloidal silver information is. And I'm going to put that on there, man. I'm going to get you some contact information to put on here. Mouse Woman. I like Mouse Woman even better than Mouse. It makes it sound like a superhero or something. Like a Mouse Woman. That's okay. I like that. Infidel, no. 4th of July is a no-go unless you want to come down here to Sholo and we'll go piddle around somewhere. But no, we're not doing it. I'm sorry, I thought you were in there at the beginning of the show when we talked about that, but no, can't do it. Sorry about that. Okay, let me see here. I'm going to look in the chat room and see who all is a Republic Defender still in there. B.B. Burner been in there for a little while. Mouse Woman, superhero. It's showing you signed in still as Mouse 10 seconds earlier than your Mouse Woman sign in. So, anyway. And some of you guys, you know, I don't know if you've looked, if you know it or not. But the 007, you're right. That's absolutely right. I don't know if you know it or not, but you can go over here, look over on the right-hand side, and there's a little deal there that says BG. That's for background, I believe. And if you click on that and set your background, do all this stuff, it's going to ask you to pay $1.50 a month. And I don't know if that's the reason. I have not had 1 second's problem with this chat room since I first signed on back in, when was it, late 2009, early 2010. I've been on here, same thing, for over 4 years now and not had a minute's problem. And I don't know if it's because I pay for this or not. I've never done the free thing. I did, you know, the first month or so until I figured out that I could upgrade. And so, you know, if you guys want to support Chat and Go, well, that's you can do that. If you don't, well, that's okay too. Yeah, it says BG right over there on the right hand side. There's a little microphone there, and where all your font settings and all that stuff is. But Republic Defender did it. Yeah, and I do it all the time. As a matter of fact, I've done it right in the middle of the show, you know, 50 times probably, when it doesn't let me do my thing there. So I did. What ticks me off about it is I can't say, okay, now I pay $1.50 a month. How about if I just pay $18 for the whole year? You know, let me do it 3 months at a time, 6 months or a year, and now you do it every month. And you know, that kind of ticks me off. But at any rate, that's how you can do it if you want to get in on that. Let me see. I gotta Alright, let's look at some of Hillary's stuff here. Hillary, the name just sticks in my craw so bad. Hillary, Obama, Pelosi, Biden. I mean, it's just, it is so hard to spit those out. Anyway, she apparently hasn't really come right out and said yet that she's running for president, but I think everybody pretty well figured she is. But she's been going out of her way here lately to make sure that gun owners know what a presidency would be like with her at the helm. There was an interview here a few days ago on CNN Newsroom where she made it very clear that at age 66 she still hasn't outgrown the zealotry of her youth. And she said, "We cannot let a minority of people," and that's what it is, it's a minority of people, "hold a viewpoint that terrorizes the majority of people." Well, we seem to do okay with atheism and any one of a dozen other, a hundred other issues. But with guns, it's we can't let a minority of people hold a viewpoint that terrorizes the majority. She was asked by a member of the TV audience there, the studio audience, as it pertains to school shootings, "Do you think that reinstating the ban on assault weapons and banning high-capacity magazines would do any good?" She said, "Yes, I do. I do." And she went on twice to confuse semi-automatics with automatics weapons. But she also said she's disappointed that Congress didn't pass universal background checks in 2013. And I guess we seem to think that the First Amendment is a little more higher up on the important list than she does. But I reckon she's entitled to her opinion here. But let's see, there was one statement that she made in here. I've got to find that. I don't want to read the whole story to you. But there was one statement that said something to the effect of gun control opponents are terrorists, not entitled to the viewpoint. Shoot, where is that? Well, I'll just leave it at that. I can't find it. It's kind of a long story here. But anyway. So that's what we got to look forward to. I can't help but think, I've been faced with a very troublesome deal here the last few days. And that is the fact that we have some people, several of them, that seem to have joined the militia with good intentions, seem to be well-meaning, like-minded, ready and willing to do what they're called upon to do. And then we get ready to have a training exercise on public land, and they're thinking the DHS is going to sneak up on them and arrest them all or something. And so I told them today that if you miss this exercise for that reason, then you're done. If I can't trust you to get out there for that, I won't be able to trust you to watch our backs, you know, other times. So to get illegal aliens or UN troops or whatever the case may be, or maybe just disasters and stuff, and be called upon to help the authorities with other issues. That's what the militia is all about. But at any rate, I'm very disappointed in some of these guys and their opinions here. Anonymous. That's exactly what I said. If they can't show up because they fear DHS now, I mean that's the very the crux of what we do. That's the very epitome of what the militia is for. Is to stand up to tyranny. Not too late. Let me tell you a couple of inside things here about the militia going down to the border. I think it's an awesome and reputable thing that they're doing, responsible thing that they're doing. However, there are a few people down there that, you know, Mouse Woman, yeah, it could be because of their age, but they're only 3 months older now than they were when they signed up. So I don't know if that's it. And we've got guys in there that are nearly 80 years old, and they're still raring to go. We had a guy in Grants, New Mexico that was 87 years old. And, of course, he couldn't do a damn thing, but he sure had the heart for it. He sure wanted to. And he was plenty happy with being in camp and helping with whatever needed to be done, knowing that he couldn't get out there in the field and do it. So, but back to not too late to your question there. There are some people in charge of certain areas down there where they may. It seems like they some guys are in charge in a certain area that shouldn't be. I know some of them. They should not be in the position that they're in. And what has happened, the same thing that happened toward the latter part of the Bundy Ranch saga out there, there were some less than honorable people out there doing less than honorable things, which gave the whole militia a black eye. And I was very disappointed in that whole, not the whole thing, because in the first part of it, it was quite an amazing thing. It was just, I was completely almost in tears over this. It was just an amazing experience. And then it kind of went to hell towards the very end there, and I'm very disappointed at that. But the anonymous 0655, I'm not sure, I may have missed who you are there, but we've got some issues down there, and I'm really proud of these guys for going down there and taking times out of their lives and jobs and relationships and everything and bank accounts and going down there to do this. I hope that it doesn't turn into the problem is, I think that a lot of the militia are getting a little bit, some of them may be getting a little too big for their britches. I think that some of them have lost sight of what the mission is and have been thinking that they've got a little more power and a little more authority than they really do. Some of them think that they have the feds on the run, and that is not the case. Yes, they they did for a little while, one time for a little while, yeah, but no. The militia does not have the feds on the run, and they're not going to have them on the run anytime soon. So I think they need to go down there and be responsible and do what they take care of the mission, whatever needs to be taken care of. But they still need to be careful with what they say and do and how they act. And the problem, there's too many generals, too many guys that claim to be in charge or want to be in charge, and that's going to cause problems. So when the poop really does hit the fan, that's one of those things that's going to have to iron itself out, and unfortunately it's going to drive a wedge between some patriots, I think, some of the ones that are willing to just go out and fight and do whatever needs to be done regardless of who's in charge, as long as they're not putting anybody in danger, and those that think that it can only be done one way, their way, and they're going to cause some problems, I think. Let's see. Here in Texas, at least, there's been a surge of upstart militias. Some of the commanders are incompetent. Yeah, there's anonymous. That's unfortunately, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I hate it. I know that there are some people down there that are in charge. And by the way, Mouse Woman, you're probably right. I saw what you said there about the what was it you said here? Pressure on the part of the wife. And like I said, I don't think that I'm disappointed in them. It doesn't mean I don't like them, don't want to be friends with them. It doesn't mean that my relationship with them won't change at all. Their relationship with me may change, but mine won't change any. It's just that I can't have them in the active militia when they're worried about somebody getting on you for training on public land. I mean, we've trained on public land for 15 years, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. So I'm going to stop this cotton picking thing here. So I saw a discussion here the other day, since we're on this topic. Let me go down through here and look real quick and see if anything we need to. And Republic Defender, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. The new militia is going to have to stay sharp. And getting through some of these incompetents is going to be a full-time task. It sure enough is. That was, 007, that was that California general that they had, or colonel he was, actually. He was, all right, Queso, I got you now, I know. that's right, Hopper, there ain't a damn thing wrong with a dictatorship as long as you're the dictator, that's right. This guy from California, he is exactly what some of these other... he was a mental case, is what he was. It wasn't even a, it wasn't just that he was, arrogant and self-centered and full of himself. It was just, I think he really did, with all kidding aside. He's talking about having 80 units under his command, and, really? Anyway, some of the things he said, he was such a goofball. And said his driver come and dropped him off out there from California. And anyway, he finally got run off and sent back to California. He can go be a general out there somewhere. But 1771, I agree with what you're saying there. But back on topic here. There's another, I guess you could call it an internal problem here with patriots. I touched on this just a little bit here a couple of weeks ago, but there are those that want to be colonels and generals and stuff with no experience, nobody under them. They just want to be the general. And there are those that think that, Queso, I'm sure you are, buddy, huh? There are those that feel that because they were in the military, because they have, alright, Infidel, I got you, thank you. Because they were in the military, and this particular group of people that I heard about this were Marines, And they're saying, I guess that they feel like because they served and because they were maybe in combat and wore a uniform and actually worked for the government and had a rank and all that kind of stuff, subject to the UCMJ and all that, that they are somehow better. They kind of seem like cops in some ways, that they seem like they're better than the rank and file militia guy. Now let me see. There's some of these guys that typically most of your most of the people that start a militia, or they get up, it's pretty standard that the head guy is going to be a colonel when it's all said and done. It doesn't mean that he ever served in the military. It doesn't mean that he knows that he was ever an officer or knows what. It means that he is the man in charge. When they have an election or whatever, and they appoint this guy to that position, more often than not, the vast majority of them, they start out as a colonel. Some of them remain that for the whole time, and there's only a couple out there that have really legitimately, what I would say, earned the rank of general. Now, Norm Olson out in Michigan has earned his rank as general, I think. Been there for a long, long time, has done a lot, testified before Congress, really done a lot for the militia. And
that's right. And you've started experience breeds contempt for the inexperienced. That's a good way to put it.
And that is exactly the problem. And these guys can't seem to get past the pumpkin cat. That's Norm Olson, General Olson. He's been a general for quite a while. Lots and lots of information out there about Norm Olson. Standby once in a while. It's break time. I need to answer a deal here. We're going to talk some more about this after the break, because I think it's an important thing, and I think it's tearing apart some of the. It's driving a wedge in the Patriot community, and I hate that, and I wish it weren't so, but it is so. So we're going to talk about it a little bit more here in a minute. Let's see here. I'll just put on something here, and I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
I know.
Well, I couldn't get dressed up for nothing.
What do you want, Derek? How can I help you?
I noticed that the defendant, Town of Port Site, Alex Taft, Jeffrey Gilbert, and Albert Johnson were ordered to a hearing on... I was reading on the internet that there's a group, it's very entertaining sometimes on the internet, but there's a group planning to come into Portside. I believe it's either August 25th or 27th, and their business to occupy Portside. Now, I've heard that they are meeting at the town park, and I'm just wondering what you might feel about fighters coming in and trying to occupy Portside.
I'm curious where she got this information.
This is my meeting. I'm talking. You're so vain.
What I call this is nothing. What has taken place here, and I have talked to the FBI, I have talked to the Attorney General about it. I talked to everybody that will listen, and I certainly, with what has taken place over here over the course of the last few weeks, I certainly consider it to be domestic terror. I certainly consider it to be domestic terror, domestic terror, domestic terror.
And I don't blame them. They're not going to take this foolishness any longer. Just keep on. Just keep on. You go ahead. Yeah, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm bad. I need some wine.
So their efforts were basically to shut down the government of Puerto Rico. That is the message, and that is the message that I'm sending to the people who listen.
Wasn't that what happened when you declared that emergency exists open-ended? Doesn't that create fear in the community?
You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. You know, hopefully they're a peaceful group. But I will tell you this, and. You know, that a lot of these people that participate in this by reading the comments, there are people who advocate violence.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
You tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey,
hey. Another one bites the dust. Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Western firestorms. Earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the MediChat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. Let's finish this up. The last thing we talked about was about the militia rank and everything, and whether how well it was accepted by prior service people. And this is one of the things that irks me till I cannot stand it. I cannot stand the fact that they are supposed to be patriots. Just because you served in the Army and the military and the Marines before doesn't mean that when you join the militia that you're doing the same thing. It's not the same thing. Everything about it is different, except we dress similarly. We don't have the disciplinary measures. We don't have the chain of command is very much the same in most units. It's very similar. It's like when someone goes and studies judo, you know, or something, and then goes to a Hapkido dojo and they say, well, this ain't the way I did it before. Well, you're not doing the same thing as you were before. So if you want to learn what we're doing, then shut up and be a part of it. Or, you know, you're welcome to pack your little white jammies and leave. So these guys need to understand that, you know, we have the way we place people in our unit is that we take into account their military service. And they have a generally a 90-day probationary period to make sure that they're going to stay and make sure that they're going to play nice and everything. And then they get their initial rank. Everybody doesn't start out as a private. I think that's stupid. But if you don't have anything to offer other than a good heart and a strong back and good marksmanship, then that's where you start. Just like anything else, you start at the bottom. But we had a guy here just this week that's going to start out as a lieutenant because we have provisions for that for people that are professional people. And that is doctors, lawyers, counselors, people that we can use that have extraordinary skills that we will never have. And in order to put them in a position where they can do something and help out, they do start out a little higher than some of the rest of them. And it's not so unlike the military, actually. If you're a prior service and you've been in, you know, a certain amount of time, we've got a couple of different time limitations there. And then you may start out as a sergeant or higher, depending on your if it's a skill that we need and all of that. So and we've been doing it for 15 years, and it's worked fine. And we've had a lot of prior service guys. We've never had, you know, any grumblings or. Any problems with this at all. But what it boils down to is it is not the military. You're not getting paid. We don't have the same disciplinary measure. We do have disciplinary measures, and we enforce them. But we have physical standards, physical training standards. We have marksmanship standards. We have several other things. You have to meet your marksmanship qualifications and physical training qualifications twice a year in order to maintain that rank and everything. And you have to have that stuff in your file in order to advance. And not to say that we're any better, smarter, or doing thing any more intelligently than any of the rest of them, but that's how we've done it, and it works well. And I think that these guys that are, you know, I wish we wouldn't. What we're going to see, what we do see, and this is what pisses me off so bad, what we do see is these groups of prior service guys that go and put together a little their little group there, which turns out to be a lot like mercenaries, Not all of them. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to lump them all into the same thing, because there's like everything else, there's good and bad. Let's see. Let me see what and Mouse Woman, you couldn't have said that any better. There's always going to be someone who thinks they know more than everyone else, and they'll always rise to their level of incompetence. It doesn't take too long for that to come out. It really does. Like this little colonel from California. Boy, he was the absolute. He put the N in incompetence. He was as incompetent as they come. What a useless piece of human flesh this guy was. Amazing to me. But what's happened, what I started to say a while ago, is there, some of these guys are creating an us against them attitude just exactly like the cops do. Some cops do. It's doing the same thing. You know, you can't do things like we do. We're highly trained. We're the only ones authorized to do this, qualified to do that. And you don't need to tell us how to do it. You know, and then the other issue here is the mission of the citizen militia is, at this point in history, vastly different than what military mission is. Now, as things progress here, that will slowly change into more of a military mission. But as it stands right now, it is not. There are a lot of similarities, and it's easy to see the similarities, the comparisons here, but it's not the same. And both sides, I shouldn't say sides, I hate to do this. See, we're already assuming that we have two different sides here. But both entities need to look at the the assets, the benefits of the other group. The prior service guys need to take a look and say, hey, you know, these guys have been training, they work well together. I think if we could throw a few things in there that we did over in the sandbox, I think we could this would be a pretty squared away group, and I'm willing to help with that. But there's other ones that say, what a stupid bunch of idiots, you know, we didn't do this, we'll just get them killed. And why don't you get in there and help and shut up and quit being a punk? If you've got some advice, now we have a guy in our group that is young and experienced and everything, and he's a trainer. He's a teacher. He does good. He takes these guys and does really well with them. There's not any. We don't have any of that that division in there because of that. So I hope that this will all pull together, and all these different groups, different factions, we'll pull together. And and Mouse Woman, you know, that's kind of what I was saying a while ago. You went to a community meeting and experienced the same thing. You know, as I said earlier, there are bad cops, bad Boy Scouts, bad, you know, everything there, no matter where you go, except with the most disciplined and the most you know, it's hard to find a group of individuals that there's not somebody in there that thinks that they should have gotten that last promotion. And I don't mean just a military promotion. It could have been in a business, a company, a community deal at the church. you know, any number of different things where somebody says, you know, I think I'm better qualified. I've been here longer. I can do that better. It should have been me. And then from then on, there's going to be that division. And it's sad, but it's true. There are provisions in our rules and regulations to remove every single commander at every level by going through the proper channels and doing it the right way. Anybody can be removed. No, there is no dictatorship here. If somebody's not doing their job and or putting somebody in danger or whatever the case may be, there's room to get rid of them. You know, Pumpkin Cat, that's a very humble and great way to face that. Even a small church group, you let people have the title and then you volunteer to do things. That's very, very good way to do it. Absolutely. Let's see. All right, well, let's get off of that. That's enough right now. Let's try to get one more short story in here before we pull the plug on this thing. Here is, this is the reason that we should carry. In Carrollton, Kentucky, there's a guy here, they got an eyewitness report of a man, told the TV station there, a man in denim shorts crashed his truck into another man's truck. He says the man in the denim shorts yanked the other driver out of the car, and then a woman who was with that guy sat on the other driver while the man in the denim shorts punched him in the face. She jumps up on the hood and runs and does a weave move and jumps on top of him and helps knock him down. Then he starts beating him up. This girl, she never got off of him. Even when I pulled away, she was still sitting on top of him. The man who got hit never was aggressive or nothing, is what the guy said. Now I have to wonder, one of the things that comes to mind here, why did you pull away? Why was you... you know, if you're, you know, small and insignificant and don't want to get involved, then you should at least stay there until, you know, holler, do something. I don't know. There's something. You don't sit there and watch somebody get outnumbered and beat up like that. That was, but at any rate, said he left the scene, called 911 because he was in fear of his own safety. Well, if you carried a gun, you wouldn't have to be near so scared of your own. He said the furious man in the denim shorts continued punching the other man even when he was defenseless on the ground. Kentucky State Police said no arrests have been made, but they're reviewing the video and will be consulting the county attorney to see if any charges will be filed. I would damn sure hope that there'd be charges filed if it is like this eyewitness says it was. Most of the commenters on this story called on police to prosecute these two. He said, this is why people are doing more of this. The law needs to come down on these people with a heavy fist of justice, what one of them said. Another said, that's why I should always carry protection, or that's why one should always carry protection. One never knows when they will encounter an out-of-control idiot. Another one said, if they find the people, why wouldn't charges be filed? Good Lord, if they caught all this on video with an eyewitness, people shouldn't be able to get away with this crap. But how many times have we talked about carrying a gun on you, with you, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time? As I was told my students in their Saturday, what part of all the time don't you understand? If you were to tell someone, I want you to do this all the time, what exactly do you mean by that? How do you define all the time? How do you define everywhere you go? How do you define every waking moment of your life? You guys heard the story about Amy and the big old billy goat. If Amy would have said, "Well, you know, I'm just going to run out and feed the goats real quick, and I'll be right back," he would have hurt her worse than he did. He might have killed her. This was not something to be taken lightly. I would give anything in the world to have that on video and see how all that was handled there. But if she hadn't been carrying her gun that morning, that Valentine's Day of 2012 would have been a very, very bad Valentine's Day. So, did you know we're still after the coyote, Pumpkin Cat? We had another one out here this morning. And 007, what? What do you mean you've been a fan all this time? You still don't carry all the time? Yeah, I can't believe that either. And you say you're such a fan, and you don't heed the advice. What in the world is the matter with you? And everybody, you know, depending on your job and stuff, you know, it's difficult. One of my biggest peeves, one of my several biggest peeves, is people that say they can't afford this or that or the other, but they continue to buy stuff that they don't need. Some people cannot get their priorities in order. And instead of, say, they'll say, "Well, I can't afford an additional $350 to put a subcompact tiny little 380 in my lunchbox or in my boot or something." But they continue to buy. "Well, but I saw this big heavy barreled 308 up there. I've already got two of them, but I couldn't pass up the price on this one. It was only $795. The little 380 or the little 9mm or whatever it is that you carry definitely is less romantic. But if you already have, you know, two or three other rifles or something, I think your priority is, what are you going to have on you, with you, every waking moment, all the time, every day, everywhere you go, no exceptions except where prohibited by law. Even then, there are lots of people that will take that chance, depending on where they live and what they're doing, that they still have that with them every waking moment. A lot of people do that. I have learned to choose that. I weigh the risk versus the benefit of carrying all the time. If I'm just going to run in the post office real quick and check the mail and come back out, I'm not going to risk a federal felony in most places to do that. A 007, I did, buddy. I just gave you permission to get a Glock 42. That's exactly right. Let's see here. You gotta try to figure out if you get out, let's say you're in Chicago, on Central Avenue in Albuquerque, or something like that. You've got to decide if you have to be there. If you have to be there. Did you get enough emphasis on that? If you have to be there, then you need to decide if the risk of carrying outweighs the risk of not having a gun outweighs the risk of getting caught with one. Let me just put it that way. If you need it and you have to use it and you live as a result of it, then the other risk doesn't matter. But in some of those areas where you have to be involved or in close contact with authorities, or you may have to walk through a metal detector or whatever the case may be, obviously the risk of getting caught outweighs the risk of not having it. So everybody has to figure that out. If you don't carry all the time, there may be a reason for it that you're not sharing with us, but consider it and think about it all the time. You don't have to carry it openly where everybody can see it. In some cases, obviously, it's much better if you have the gun on you within arm's reach all the time. Sometimes that may not be possible or prudent, but it should be where you can do it, where you can get to it pretty damn quickly if the situation arises. I would much prefer to have it on me all the time. Yeah, Doc, you know, I've talked about that 100 times on here. Boots and ankles are only good for secondary guns, for backups. Or, you sure don't want to carry your primary gun in there. But anyway, Hopper's getting ready to go to bed, and I guess I ought to, too. And that means if I am, I guess most of y'all ought to be, too, because you can get up and get a good night's sleep and get up and get ready to defend your rights and liberty tomorrow. And don't miss Amy. She's got a couple of really good stories on tap for you in the morning. 8 o'clock Pacific time right here on Just Measures Radio Network. And let me get this thing up here, and we will see you all in the morning for Amy's show. Thanks for joining me, guys. I appreciate it very much. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.